Testing 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, testing.
I'm Ben McAdams, and I represent Utah's 4th Congressional District. Before I was elected last November, I was the mayor of Salt Lake County. It's my belief that Washington might work better if we thought about governing the country the way mayors approach leading their communities. In this podcast, I'm hoping to show you what being a member of Congress is really like, and whether it's possible to run this country the way we run our local governments. Welcome to Washington. This week, I'm talking with a couple of representatives, a Republican and a Democrat, about Iran, which is an issue that we are hearing a lot about with escalating tensions in the region, the prospect of war. Iran attacked 2 oil tankers and then shot down a U.S. drone, and people are really concerned. And in particular, me, with my background as mayor, this is not an area where I have a lot of subject matter expertise. And so I thought it'd be great to talk to some of my colleagues on both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, to hear their thoughts. And as I'm formulating my opinion and approach moving forward, and also to share their thoughts with people in Utah. So now I'm talking with Representative Mark Green. And Mark, why don't you give people of Utah a little bit of your background and then tell me your thoughts on Iran, kind of the treacherous situation we're in right now, and what we should be thinking about as a Congress before we, as we move forward, what we should do.
Sure. Well, I grew up on a dirt road in Mississippi. I went to West Point, got a degree in economics, served in the infantry, Army Ranger, all the HUA stuff, you know. And my dad almost died, and this doctor who saved his life had been an Army doctor. So I asked the Army if they'd send me to med school, and they did, and did my residency down at Fort Hood, Texas. 9/11 happens, and I get this phone call from Special Operations that says, you know, we want you to join the Special Operations Task Force. So I did. I became an Army doctor, and did 2 trips to Iraq and 1 to Afghanistan. Wound up interviewing Saddam Hussein the night we caught him. Got out of the Army, started a healthcare company, grew it up to a little over $200 million in revenue. We were in about 18 states, I think, when I left the company, sold it. Been a state senator for 6 years, and then now 6 months in the U.S. Congress. You asked about Iran. Iran is, you know, probably one of the clearest enemies the United States has had in a really long time. I mean, they've done nothing but either disrupt our intentions in the Middle East to bring peace and stability, or they've overtly killed Americans, you know, about 1,000 from their enhanced explosive devices in Iran or in Iraq with our soldiers. Of course, there's Khobar Towers, there's the Marine barracks, there's their disruption in Syria now. They're about 80% of the force in Syria. So very clearly they're an enemy. The question is, how do we proceed in this very delicate situation? Because we can't afford another conflagration in the Middle East like we've had. Very clearly, China would love to see us bogged down in the Middle East further, right? But they also need the oil coming out of the Strait of Hormuz. So I think we got to find a way to partner with the globe and get Iran to act like a normal state. So,
and what should we? So you know, there's some. I guess the question is, does the president have authorization to act in Iran? Constitution says that the president needs authority from Congress, but they may be arguing that they have authorization right under a couple of different scenarios. The authorization that allowed the U.S. to go to war with al-Qaeda, and if there's a connection there. Where are we on that? What should we be thinking about?
I think the War Powers Act is pretty clear. If you attack the U.S. military, you know, and this was an attack on the U.S. military, so the drone attack, I think he's okay. You know, going much beyond that, then I'd have to look at the details of what he wants to do.
All right, so it's interesting and a little bit treacherous times, right? Yeah. We want to protect our country, but we got to make sure we don't get bogged down in a war, that we act appropriately. And
yeah, it's a very scary time. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
And how's the president doing in your view?
I think the president's doing a great job. I mean, the way he responded to the chemical use in Syria, you know, the Moab against ISIS in Afghanistan, a lot of people forget about that. I think he's taken appropriate and measured actions. He gave Iran an out. You know, he basically said maybe it was a trigger-happy guy at the missile site. Of course, they didn't take that, and they're doubling down on We Hate America. But, I mean, he's been very measured in this, and I don't think anyone can be critical of, you know, everybody wants me to go. And so, and then he pulls back because he doesn't want to kill 150 guys versus, you know, a drone. So I think he's been very measured, very responsible. The sanction escalation today, or yesterday, I guess it was fantastic. Let's hope they get enough pressure internally to actually come to the negotiating table with appropriate expectations.
So this has been very helpful. My background, I'm a lawyer and a mayor. So I have if we're talking potholes, I have a lot of expertise to bring to the table, but not a lot in this area. So it's really informative. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right, I'm here with my colleague, Representative Alyssa Slotkin. We are just stepped off the floor. We're taking some votes right now. But I reached out to you over the weekend because I wanted some help on Iran. So I'm a mayor, which means I don't have a lawyer. I don't have a lot of national security experience. So I reached out to Alyssa for her thoughts as we are formulating our position on Iran. So tell people of Utah a little bit about your professional background prior to coming to Congress, and then what we should be thinking about as we look at a decision.
Sure. So I'm a former CIA officer with 3 tours in Iraq, and I'm a Shia militia specialist by training. So a lot of the original analysis that connected Iran to those groups was my shop and my team and the team I worked on. And then I was an assistant secretary of defense at the Pentagon. So I've been working on Iran in some form or fashion my entire professional career in the government. And I think we should be thinking about is how we don't inadvertently slide into war, right? You can get into war by launching a big offensive and being very sort of thoughtful about it, but then you can slide into war. And actually, most wars are inadvertent and accidental. And we're in a real moment of heightened tensions, so you just never know when there's mistakes. You know, we had a shoot down, we had tankers attacked, and the response options we know from the president seemed a little half-baked, right? Whenever a president of the United States is stopping an assault, an air attack with, 35 minutes left to go or something, that is a symptom of a White House that is not methodically going through their options, and that makes me extremely nervous. It should make everyone extremely nervous. So I'm worried, first and foremost, about inadvertent war, and then I think we all should be thinking, and remembering that Congress is a co-equal branch government. And if you want to go to war per the Constitution, you must come back to the U.S. Congress to receive authorization of military force. And this administration has shown little to no regard for congressional roles. And I'm very concerned that they will try to, use some old authorizations from 2001 to go to war. And I have a real problem with that.
Explain that, the old authorization from 2001, what that was, and then and how they would try to use that.
Yeah, and so basically, after 9/11, right, we were attacked. So we, the administration at that time, the Bush administration, came to the Congress, and the Congress approved an authorization of military force for Al-Qaeda and anyone who harbors Al-Qaeda. And that language is important, especially that latter language. So that allowed us to go and fight against Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. It also allowed us to go to war with the Taliban, right, because they harbored Al-Qaeda. So that was 2001. We did a second authorization of military force to go to war with Iraq, very controversial. But the reason why we're all paying attention to the 2001 authorization is because of that language, harbors Iraq, or harbors anyone who harbors Al-Qaeda. And Secretary Pompeo has refused to exclude the possibility that he has the right to go to war with Iran because of the relationship between Al-Qaeda and Iran. He's been talking about it in public and in private. And anytime you hear an administration official talking about Al-Qaeda and Iran in the same sentence, everyone's sort of ears should be pricking up, because that means they're looking at the legal way to have authorization for military force without having to come back.
And you think the relationship between Al-Qaeda and Iran is tenuous? Describe your thinking on that.
So a lot of that is classified. They've had contact for a long time, basically since 9/11. But there's, this is like a movie we've all seen before, right? Before the run-up to the Iraq War, the Bush administration created a separate little intelligence office that absolutely exaggerated and in some cases fabricated the relationship between Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda. And the nature of the relationship then was nothing as characterized. And I will tell you, I am watching like a hawk with a very skeptical eye that we don't walk into the exact same scenario.
And what can we and in Congress do about this?
Yep. So we're going to have a vote on the National Defense Authorization Act, which is the way we fund the Pentagon. And part of that vote, we're going to have an amendment that specifically makes clear that this administration does not have authorization of military force against Iran, right? We're going to make a very strong statement. And importantly, it will be bipartisan. I think that's very important. So that's one thing. We can make a statement. We can be very vocal about our concerns and our skepticism. But then we need the American people to weigh in. You know, I think, I don't know about your folks back in Utah, but my folks in Michigan are not looking for another long war in the Middle East, right? We've got stuff going on here, and we haven't proven to be very good at getting out of wars, right, or achieving our goals in war. So I think it's a combination of us making very clear what we think here and then hearing from the U.S. public.
All right. Thank you, Alyssa Slotkin. I'll let you get back to the floor for votes. Thanks.
Thanks so much.
I want to thank you for listening to Washington. What I'd really love to hear is from you. To follow this journey, subscribe for free on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, the KSL Radio app, and anywhere you find interesting podcasts. To be part of this experiment in making the world's most powerful city responsive to citizens, please email me at tips@loudmouthproject.com.
We'd like to thank the village that made this podcast possible. Andrea Smarden, Danny Akana, Allison Heron, and Congressman Ben McAdams. We'd also like to issue a special thanks to Representative Alyssa Slotkin and Representative Mark Green. Washington Town is a production of the Loudmouth Project.